Welcome, welcome, geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to another episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have Russ Russo talking about his brand new sci-fi series on Amazon Prime, Chaser. After that, we'll talk with the co-host of the new Crunchyroll podcast, The Anime Effect. And finally, Deb Hayes is going to join us to talk all about Big River Comic Con going on in Hannibal, Missouri. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
If you're driving around the greater St. Louis area right now listening to us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you out there listening in your cars or in your home or your boats, wherever you might be listening to the radio or on your computer. You could stream us online as well, ktrs.com/stream. You might be listening with the KTRS app. Hello to all of you who are doing that from your phone or smart device. And of course, if you're watching us on YouTube and Facebook, hello to all of you. We appreciate you tuning in and listening each and every week. But if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form, we love you just as much as the people who listen live. So thank you for finding us there in the podcast and listening. Hopefully you subscribed by now and left us a nice 5-star review. We do always appreciate that. We've got a full show, so we're going to dive right in. My first guest, actor and writer Russ Russo, he's got a new sci-fi series on Amazon Prime. If you're looking to check something like that out, it's called Chaser, and he joins us now. Russ, I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, James, for having me.
Of course. Joining us from the gym, he's that dedicated, ladies and gentlemen. He's taking time out of his workout to join us here on the show. It's very, I was telling him off air, this is my first interview I've ever had from a gym.
Yeah, I just had a stay. I had a vacation with my 2 and 3-year-old, 20,000 plus steps at Disney. And I got back and I'm like out of the gym for a week. And I'm just like, oh, I got to get back in there. My God, it's just yikes. You know, after like a work vacation, you know.
Well, I appreciate you interrupting the workout to join us on the show. This is great, and I love sci-fi. And one of the things I was looking at when I reviewed your history on IMDb, you've done a lot of different genres. I mean, you've done all sorts of things. You've done shorts. You've done features. You've done TV. I personally am a fan of sci-fi. So talk a little bit about, tell people what to expect from Chaser.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's about Eddie Sebastian. He's an editor who can get, well, he gains the power to re-edit his life for 24 hours and sort of ask the questions, what would you do with that kind of power? You know, how would it change? How would you change your life? And is it worth it? You know, with great power comes great responsibility, right?
Exactly. To quote our friend Peter Parker.
Right.
With being a writer on this too, I was curious. A lot of actors and writers write things because there's something they want to do, but there's not that part written for them or for what they want to do. Was this something? How long has the germ for this idea been ruminating in the back of your mind?
Well, I wasn't per se a accredited writer on this. Although it is funny, we had a moment where the creator, the writer, creator, director, Daniel Romer, unfortunately had to let a teenage actor go in the first week of filming the series. And funny enough, that character was out throughout the entire series. So I ended up for a week being in like sort of a writer's room with Daniel Romer and some people going, okay, how do we make up for this 14-year-old character who's now not in the series whatsoever, yet he's in every script?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my writing credit that didn't become a writing credit.
Yeah, I think I was conflating this with Bad Frank because I was going through your IMDb, and right. I think that's what I conflated. So
Absolutely. And, you know, I have numerous writing credits, but, you know, I wasn't credited as writer. I'm going to have to talk to Daniel Romer about this. But, yeah, we definitely did some heavy rewriting on this about a week or two in.
So are you like I said, you don't really have a genre, like you're not a specific this actor. You've got a wide range of stuff. What is it that draws you to sci-fi? Is there something particular you like about sci-fi?
I think it really was this story, you know. There's something about we all have regrets in life. I mean, let's face it, you know. And it's sort of exploring the idea of like, well, okay, if you regret that and you want to have a do-over – What would that do over really encompass? Would you end up in the same place you were had you not done the do over? You know, so he was just kind of like trying to manage that idea for myself. I found that fascinating, and I just wanted to explore it. But I mean, I will tell you this, James. I mean, O.J. Simpson passed away a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah.
And my wife was telling me, you know, I was really sad, you know, over. Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. Nicole Brown lost her life. Ron Goldman lost her life. And my wife was telling me, she's like, you know, you're going to be tied to that for the rest of your life, because on Ron Goldman's Wikipedia page, you're the only actor to ever portray him in a film. And she showed me the Wikipedia page, and I was like, oh my God, something I did 20 years ago is now coming back up into the news, and people were talking about it. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know if I want to be associated with O.J. Simpson, because I'll tell you, even portraying that, being stabbed 76 times by a man that looked like O.J. Simpson on set, that's a thing that runs in my nightmares.
I can imagine.
Sometimes it's not, you know, they say it's just acting, but I still have nightmares about that.
I guess that means you really were into the part. That's what that means, right? If you're still dreaming about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just wakes me up some shudder sometimes in the night off that one. But yeah, I mean, different genres, different, so many different projects, so many different, you know, different curiosities, places it takes you, you know.
Yeah, one of the ones I was looking at, I have not seen this one, but as I was going through your film, this is one I've added to my must-watch thing now, is The Green Fairy with Roddy Piper. You were in it with Linda Blair, and it's all about absinthe and its effect on history. So people are actually playing Oscar Wilde in this movie. So I think that's fascinating. I've got to go back and check that out. How was your experience working on that?
That was incredible. And Roddy Piper was like a hero of mine. So to meet him and work with him for, you know, a week was, you know, and hear his stories was incredible. They Live is like still to this day one of my all-time favorite films, and you know, that was magical. That was a pretty cool time.
And yeah. Early on in your career, you're getting work on these huge shows like Sex and the City and, you know, the Curb Your Enthusiasm. When you're working on stuff like that, is in your mind, when you're that early on in your career, are you kind of checking boxes like, okay, there's a serious thing, I'm just moving on to a bar? Or are you kind of one of those people who absorbs the atmosphere around you and like, what can I learn from this? Talk a little bit about your early experiences in the business.
Yeah, that's really funny that you said that, because I'm definitely the latter, in that I remember being specifically on Sex and the City and watching Ron Livingston, just watching him go into his scene, because he had a majority of the lines that day. And, you know, I'd already known him from, you know, Office Space and from, you know, I had seen him in Swingers. So by the time I worked with him, and I was just a young actor, just watching his process was just incredible to me. There's things I feel like I take from that. So, yeah, for sure. You're watching and learning at that point.
And I can imagine, just with your career, like I said, you've worked with so many great actors, not only the ones we mentioned, but Ryan Phillippe, Orlando Jones, Jason Sudeikis, pre-Ted Lasso era, Maisie Williams. Have you ever been starstruck? Like, is there someone who you've worked with, even though you're a professional, you're like, holy crap, I'm on the set with this person?
It was funny, because Ryan Phillippe, it was his directorial debut. And I was talking with a friend of mine, a longtime actor, you might recognize his name, William McNamara. He's just been in about everything. You know, he even did, he was opposite Tom Berenger in Dennis Hopper's directorial debut. Billy Mack was saying, hey, I watched Catch Hell the other day, and it was fantastic, and I love that flick. And I was telling him, Ryan Phillippe, he actually, because he directed that, he handpicked me to be, you know, to play that part in the movie. And so when I went down to Louisiana, we shot in Louisiana, I was in LA at the time. And I do remember feeling like my very first play, Clifford Odets, Awake and Sing. I don't know why they would throw me into the lead role in a play like that in 1998. I remember going to theater to like clear my mind, and up on the screen with Studio 54 starring Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah.
So it was definitely like some sort of surreal, full roundabout moment. Moment, you know, for me when I got that role.
And we mentioned your writing, and I mentioned Bad Frank. I got my wires crossed, but Bad Frank, that was the late great Tom Sizemore was in that. Brian O'Halloran, who we've had on the show here before. Did you get to, as one of the writers, were you in on the casting process for that?
I was, yeah. And I couldn't have been more excited about getting to Tom. Like, I watched Tom and Heat and True Romance and, you know, Saving Private Ryan and Black Hawk Down. And I was like, just to have that opportunity to work with him, you know, before his untimely passing, he was just a beast of an actor. Yeah. You want to talk about watching process, like I'm watching his process 15 years after watching Ron Livingston's process, and I was still in awe. Huh. I was like, even after having learned 15 years of this craft and really diving in so deep, to watch the instrument Tom Sizemore had was just fascinating. Really, really incredible. What a beast. He could go from 0 to 100 in a second.
Yeah, I often worry that if I was to be in that position, I'd be like, man, I don't know if I can, you know, do this. Well, I'd be so busy watching the other person that's like, hey, that's your line. And I'd have to pull myself out of the stupor to act opposite some of these people you've been on the screen with.
Yeah, it was funny because the first day I finally, you know, met him and got to work with him, you know, after the whole casting process and all of that. There's something about the character that I built, because, you know, you build a character. It's all about, you know, you build it. And then when you get there, you have to sort of throw certain things away. You got to be listening. You got to be this and that. And I remember, because I was building a voice that was a little different than my own, that I've read with Tom the first time, and we're looking at each other, and he grabbed me by the throat, and he was like, you know, if you do a choke hold like this, you kind of have to like really like turn your fingers like this. And my throat was fucked up the rest of the day. And I was like, if anything, Tom is credited with this voice the rest of the movie, because he changed even my vocal cords for that film in the first seconds of meeting him. Maybe it was something he didn't like in what I was doing with the vocal structure, but he changed it for me. So.
And to bring it back to Chaser on Prime, as we mentioned, it's available now. We've got some people in the chat, I guess, have already seen it. Maybe we've got some people said, Mary Smith said it's a fantastic TV show. We've got our friend Chance from Atlanta who's listening, says hi. My Flock, hi, everyone. Shannon Musler, happy birthday. Thank you, Shannon. I appreciate that. My birthday was Friday. Carol Emick is listening. We've got a lot of people listening in the chat. I'm trying to go through. I'm trying not to ignore the chats like I usually do, Russ. That's something I've been trying to work on. Our friend BK in Atlanta also is listening. To bring it back to Chaser, though, I love the idea of the time loop thing, because one of my favorite movies, and I think it's highly underrated, is The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher, where he's able to go back to points in his life, but the change isn't always for the best. And like you mentioned in the beginning, would you edit your life if you could? How would it be different? Have you thought about the real life implications, like when you're doing this, applications in your own life? I mean, everyone's got stuff they would change, but some people are like, no, I wouldn't have it any other way because here's where I am. What kind of feeling do you have on it personally?
Yeah, if it's going into my personal feelings, I wouldn't change a thing. I can't change anything. I have a beautiful wife of 15 years, 2 and 3 year old daughters. You know, I run an acting studio here in my hometown now. I wouldn't have it any other way. There's just too many beautiful things and beautiful people that are in my life now that, you know, even all the failure and hardships the moments that just feel like you can't even pick yourself up off the floor have to be worth it, because I would have gotten to this moment. I changed one thing, and for sure, especially going through the process of Chaser, I definitely would change what I have right now. One thing, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I feel like there's all those movies, and you always see, and when a person goes back and they change anything, thinking, oh, well, my life is horrible, it always tends to be for the worst when they come back to it, because, you know, you kind of got to play the hand you're dealt, and that's why I'm kind of, it's certainly an idea that makes you think, so I'm excited for people to see Chaser. It's just 8 episodes, am I correct?
Yeah, it's a limited series, just 8 episodes on Amazon Prime, so I hope people do check it out, yeah.
And what was the best thing when you're working on something like this? I mean, you've got a great cast that you're working on this with, and the premise is great. I love the idea of it. You're working in the sci-fi genre. It's coming out on Prime, which is totally clutch. What was your favorite part about working on this? Was it something, a moment you had with another actor or a particular scene? Or?
Yeah, we filmed in Mansfield, Ohio. I had never been there before. I mean, just an hour south of Columbus, I'm sorry. And it's like right in between Cleveland and Columbus. And I'd just never been in like this. It's a really beautiful small town. The people were incredible. They made up a lot of the crew. And I just feel like I have friends for life. Out of these 25 or 30 people that kind of, came together to put this show together, at least, on location there. And that was my, that's my favorite part about it, is spending a couple months in Mansfield, Ohio, shooting this TV series, and just, karaoke nights with everybody, sushi nights. It just gets to be such like a family. And, I've been around them ever since.
Yeah, I worked at Mettler-Toledo for a while. They're based in Columbus, Ohio up there. And boy, there is a karaoke bar every other block, I feel like, in the Columbus area. So that's
they can sing in Ohio. I gotta say, I was intimidated. Man.
What's your go-to karaoke song, Russ?
Oh God, I get made fun of because sometimes, I'll just throw a boy band number out there. I don't care if it's New Kids on the Block or NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. I'll just throw it out there and jam to it, and we were like, ooh. So, hey man, you're trying to have some fun.
You're hitting that 90s point. That's those 90s songs. That's all classic rock now. the boy band thing.
You're a child during that era. It's just I want to throw it back to here. And everybody's like, boo.
No taste. That's what I say. No taste. Anyone who boos that kind of music.
it's fun. It's just fun. So,
and you've had one directing in a short film, and you've done some writing we've already talked about, but it's mostly acting. Do you have any desire to do more writing? Any desire to get behind on the other side of the camera for directing? Or are you one of those people who just enjoys acting and that's kind of where you want to be?
I have another project set up with Buffalo 8, who released Chaser as a series. I've written a script called Caller 22. It's in the financing stages, so you never know what's going to happen in the financing stages. But Sean Ashmore from X-Men is already interested in playing the lead, so it's just a matter of can we put all the financing together? Sean is in. Let's make this happen. So hopefully by the end of the year, we're gonna have a film, and that's. I think it's so timely too. I mean, it's phone booth meets AI. Ooh. If I can not give away things, but it's it's in that genre. It's okay. in that taut thriller feeling to things.
Very nice. Yeah, that phone booth. That was a great. Oh my gosh, that was a very tense movie.
Yeah. Colin Farrell in that, and even Kiefer's voice just made that. And I hope we get a voice like that. I keep saying Mickey Rourke, and you just hope that you get a voice that's got that quality to
right.
it. You know?
My gosh, we'll keep our eyes open for that one. And if once it goes through, I'd love to have you back on to talk about that. That'd be amazing.
That would be so cool, James.
And if people awesome. Want to find out more about you and keep up with you, I mean, website, social media handles. Where can people follow you and keep engaged?
Absolutely. So I'm actor Russ Russo on just about everything. You go to TikTok, you go to IG. That's me.
And if you're listening to this after the fact, just scroll down to the bottom of the page. We'll have links to Russ's socials in the show notes. Again, the series is Chaser on Amazon Prime. Sci-fi extraordinaire. If you're a fan of The Butterfly Effect or any kind of those what would happen if you changed the past type of films or stories, this is one you're definitely going to want to check out. Russ Russo, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us live from the gym on a Sunday night.
getting it in.
That's right. Take care. I appreciate it. Be well.
All right, thank you, James.
You got it. There he goes. Check out the series because it's going to be really cool. I confessed that I've only seen the trailer. I didn't get a screener. I didn't have a chance to watch the first couple episodes, but this is something I'm definitely going to be checking out, and I think you should too. Amazon Prime, again, Chaser. Check that one out. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Why, hello, this is Scott Innes, better known as the voice of Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Like in Shaggy Doo and Scrappy-Doo. And like you're listening to Geek to Me Radio. Right, Uncle Scoob?
Right, Rappy. Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Scott Innes, just one of the celebrities you'll be able to meet next weekend. This coming weekend, I should say, Friday and Saturday at Big River Comic Con. We're going to have the con owner, Deb Hayes, on in just a moment to talk about that. Before we do get into our next interview, though, we'll make sure we tell you about our premier sponsor, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. You, of course, know them from the website discoverstcharles.com. Always something going on down there, from just outdoor events, like they had their ice sculpting festival in January. They had their Valentine's Festival, brand new one where you can go out there just like if you like the Halloween and the Christmas ones, a brand new. It's called Once Upon a Valentine's Day. They were going to be bringing that back next February, where you can interact with the Queen of Hearts is back. And of course, the Six Wives of Henry VIII. You can talk to Romeo and Juliet and do custom made sonnets with them. A great time is always had. Just the food, the atmosphere, the environment, the small businesses that make up North and South Main Street. There's always something happening, and there's always someplace new. They've got an anime shop out there, which I haven't had a chance to go in because the last time I went out, they were closed, but I'm going to have to go back and visit them. There's always something new, something cool to see in St. Charles. If you haven't been lately, start your trip at the website discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. Whether you're from out of town, like our last guest, Russ, or you're local to the area and just haven't been across the bridge in a while, start your trip there, discoverstcharles.com. If you're coming from out of town, there's plenty of places to stay, from five-star hotels to rustic campsites to just charming bed and breakfasts, or just go over for the day. If you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, pop across the bridge, have some barbecue at Salt and Smoke, grab a gooey butter milkshake on there on North Main Street, and just have some fun. It's always important to support small businesses. So we always say, if you're looking for a book from one of our guests, go ask the bookstore on South Main Street in St. Charles. See if they can order it for you. Support the local businesses all around that area. Once again, the website, discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. My next interview, I've got the co-hosts of a brand new podcast from Crunchyroll, and we've got that one coming at you right now. April 15th is National Anime Day, and I know I always have a lot of people say I don't do enough with anime, and as you all know, it's because I don't know enough about it, but I've got two people on my show right now who do. I have Leia President and Lealec Murray, who have a brand new podcast, The Anime Effect, from Crunchyroll. Thank you both for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And you mentioned, Anime Day is coming up on April 15th. We're trying to overcome Tax Day. And we're going to hop on that rebrand, and hopefully some people find anime.
Give us something to look forward to on April 15th, for crying out loud. That's all we're asking.
Right.
For sure.
So here in St. Louis, we're very proud because we have our own St. Louis anime, which obviously is Voltron, created by Ted Koppler, kind of brought the Beast King Go Lion anime over in the 80s. And it was huge. Yeah. And I'm just old enough to remember Battle of the Planets, which was, again, a kind of an Americanized version of Science Ninja Team Gatchaman. Talk about a little bit about both of your first experiences with anime, if we could. We'll start with Leia.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I am a lifelong anime fan, for sure. And manga, which are, Japanese comic books. So I definitely grew up with that. Whether fortunately or unfortunately, I am a member of the Gen Z generation. So, you know, all of that content was a little bit more accessible to me growing up. But I think, like, if it's any indication, you know, how much anime is, you know, entering, you know, pop culture and entering the dominant, you know, mainstream space. In my generation, only about 25% of people follow the NFL, whereas 42% watch anime weekly. So
wow.
We're definitely, I think, what we like to, what's unique about, you know, the Anime Effect, or our podcast, is that, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and come to anime from different places. So, you know, we'll meet you wherever you're at, whether you're a new fan or a lifelong fan.
And Lay Alec?
Yeah, you brought up both Voltron and Science Team Ninja, and, you know, Speed Racer. Like, those are definitely, like, part of my core five. But I think the one that really kicked it off for me was the original Dragon Ball. It was just on syndicated TV.
Yeah.
Before it even got to be, you know, as big as it is now. And, you know, I chased that dragon, you know, pun intended, for a really long time, until it actually did show up in a bigger form, like Toonami on Cartoon Network, which did start really introducing the world of anime to the population at large. And it's just something that's, you know, always been a part of my life. And, you know, something that we talk about on the Anime Effect all the time is, you know, how not only, you know, how big it's the anime as a medium has gotten, but, you know, how important it's been to not only us, but, you know, the fans that we interact with as well, too.
And obviously Crunchyroll is just, you know, it's a huge brand, and to have this podcast, and if I'm not mistaken, it launched in February, the Anime Effect, but it's also now its TV debut with episode 6. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Thanks for
And it's just been so fun. you know, we're friends even outside of this podcast. So we like to think of our podcast really as us welcoming you over to hang out with some friends and just talk about something we all love.
And Leah, you went to school right up the road here from us in St. Louis, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign.
Right, ILL.
When you were going to school, what part in your mind did you realize that kind of the pop culture was going to be your career?
Well, here's the thing. I actually studied journalism. So before I came to Crunchyroll, I was, you know, a broadcast news producer doing hard news. So, you know, despite being a lifelong anime fan, I kind of like got into working into anime a little bit later on in my career, which is so awesome because that way I can, you know, essentially make something that is my passion into, you know, my livelihood, which is, it's the dream, honestly.
And Lay Alec, obviously with the Musicians Institute, you studied sound and everything like that, sound engineering. But I think working at GameStop for as long as you did, I don't know if I would have had any money from my paycheck left, because every time I go in a GameStop store, I want to buy everything they've got on the shelves. How did you, how's your self-control in the collection department?
It's not great. you know, my office is full of, I love action figures. It's always been a thing for me as a kid, whether it's, you know, superheroes or anime or, you know, Transformers, whatever. But no, my self-control is not great. So we'd be in the same boat.
But see, this is the great part, because of your job, it's a tax write-off. Am I right? We're talking about tax day coming up soon. We can be honest.
It's you know what? It's really not.
Well, don't tell my accountant. That's all I have to say. With so many great animes out there, I mean, we've got everything, like you mentioned, Dragon Ball. Obviously, I always think of My Hero Academia, Full Metal Alchemist, Attack on Titan, even Pokemon, which a lot of people think as a, it's a video game, but no, it's an anime. But even like we talked about in the beginning, back when I was watching Voltron, I never thought of it as anime, and now it's grown so much to encompass, just the ones I mentioned are the tip of the iceberg. What are some of your favorite animes? And we'll start with Leia again.
Man, you brought it up already. Attack on Titan is my favorite anime of all time. And on the show, on the Anime Effect, actually, there's this little bit we do, because no matter what we are talking about, I will find some way to bring up Attack on Titan. And a couple of years back, I actually interviewed the creator, Isayama.
Oh, wow.
At a convention. So, you know, I'm still riding that wave. That's the highlight of my life. So.
Like, Alec, do you have a favorite, one or two favorites in the anime genre?
One or two favorites. You mentioned Fullmetal Alchemist. Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is, you know, it's peak anime for me. But if I'm going to pick one from a different genre within the medium, Kuroko's Basketball, I absolutely love it.
Oh, wow.
I'm
okay.
A huge basketball fan. And you know that, you know, it's feeds two beasts for me, my basketball and my anime beast.
So, yeah.
You know, it's great. I love it.
And for people, like I said, I love anime. I can appreciate it. I don't, with so much content to consume, it's hard to, you know, look at certain things. I'm watching like 8 different TV shows right now, so anime sometimes goes to the back burner. Someone who is maybe not familiar with anime at all, what would be some recommendations so they can dip their toe in the water and appreciate it more? What would be some recommendations you'd give them? And we'll start with Layalik on this one.
Oh, so all you got to do is fire up your Crunchyroll app, right?
there you go.
Definitely one that I you know, I'm always going to recommend to people is always going to be, you know, Dragon Ball Z, because of it's always going to, Dragon Ball at some point has always been a part of the zeitgeist of, you know, popular culture. So that's definitely one that I think, you know, you can really kind of sink your teeth into. If you want something that's a big dramatic story that also happens to be about family, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, we mentioned that, but then if you want a lighthearted family story, I would also say Spy Family is it's you know, equally parts cute, funny, and then there's some action mixed in there as well too.
And Leia?
Yeah, so this is always such a hard question for me, and we're trying to answer it every single week, because you know, anime itself is really more of a medium for telling stories than it is, you know, a genre in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you can find, you know, on any other streaming platform, your comedy, your classic hero's journey, your romance, your thriller, the same thing exists in anime. So really, I like to just ask people, you know, like, well, what are you into? And we'll go from that. And, you know, on the Anime Effect every week, we like to, you know, jump off in pop culture, you know, what is the popular show or movie right now, and give you recommendations based on that. So, you know, whether you're just kind of like entering anime or you're a lifelong fan, you know, we want to be able to create an inclusive space for you and make it not as intimidating, something that you really love.
And my final question for you both is with the launch of this series, the Anime Effect on the Crunchyroll, what would be some of the things that you think people are going to enjoy most about, or what should people look forward to the most each week?
Each week? You know what? I love our cast dynamic. So, you know, between me, Leah, and Nick, who is our other co-host, sometimes it gets absolutely, you know, unhinged and kind of crazy. But we have a lot of fun, and we love interacting with, you know, the Crunchyroll fans or the anime fans. Like, it's really energizing from, you know, week to week to put out this show and being able to, you know, not only talk about, you know, a medium that we love, but then also interact with people. Get their recommendations, we give them recommendations right back, and then also answering the questions. And so I think that's the biggest thing I think you will love about this show is the cast dynamic on top of the anime, of course.
Anything you wanted to add to that, Leia?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, all of our co-hosts come from, you know, anime from different approaches, different backgrounds. So it's a cool dynamic and a great way to show that no matter where you're from, how you grew up, you know, there's something for you in anime and on Crunchyroll.
And again, the Crunchyroll presents the Anime Effect. Check out the podcast. Leia and Alec, I'm going to have you back on because we didn't even get to touch on manga versus comic books. We'll have to talk about that next time if we can get you both on again.
Thanks so much, James.
Yeah, we look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be well. Take care.
There they go. Check out the podcast, The Anime Effect, on the Crunchyroll app, and it's actually on their website as well. They now have on the Crunchyroll channel, you can watch the podcast, so I appreciate Leia and Layalik being on. We're going to take another quick commercial break.
Hi, guys. It's Emily Swallow. I have two things to tell you, one of which is This Is the Way. And you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm your host, James Enstall. Want to make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor, which is Bugs Comics and Games. If you are looking to get back into the comic book, maybe you've been in and out of it over the years, you want to get back into it, go check out Larry's place, Bugs Comics and Games, on Bryan Road in O'Fallon, Missouri. Easily accessible from either Highway 364 or from Highway 70. Pop in there, say you heard about it on Geek to Me Radio, and say, hey, I'm wanting to pick up some Spider-Man titles. What have you got? One of the things I love when I'm in the store is when people will walk in, especially if they've got a younger kid with them, who obviously they're bringing in because the kid wants to read comics, and the kid will say, I like Aquaman, or I like Spider-Woman. And he'll say, well, we got these comics. Here are some vintage ones. And he's got dollar books. He's got $5 books. He's got the brand new books every Wednesday on New Comic Book Day. He's got back issues. He's got some really nice ones in the case. First appearance of Punisher, first appearance of Black Panther. So if you're looking for something special, Larry's probably got it. Follow them on Instagram as well. Instagram.com/BugsComicsAND, Bugs Comics and Games. He'll put stuff up there, and if you like what you see on the Instagram, say claim. He'll send you an invoice, and he'll ship it directly to your door in a nice bomb-proof package. It'll be perfectly securely arriving on your doorstep, just like it looks in the picture on Instagram. So you can make him your local comic book store, even if you're not in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area. Also, give their Facebook page like, Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook, and make sure you join the Avengers Club. That way you start saving money on all of your hobby items, your new issues, back issues, toys, games, whatever it might be. And that way you can enjoy your hobby and save some money at the same time. Bugs Comics and Games, very proud to have them as the official comic book sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. You just heard the voice of Emily Swallow bringing us back from commercial break. That's because she's one of the guests who will be appearing at Big River Comic Con in Hannibal, Missouri. And we've got the convention owner on the line right now. Deb Hayes, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Very excited for Friday and Saturday. I feel like a kid before Christmas time. This is going to be so much fun.
It is. We're so blessed to have this celebrity guest lineup. We've got Emily. We've got Jake the Snake. We've got Scott Innes. Like, we're just so excited for this year's guest list. So, and we're excited to have you back. You'll be hosting the panel with Emily.
That's right. Emily's been on the show before, so I'm excited to talk to her again because she's done another season of Mandalorian since last time I had her on, and a couple other projects will be fun to talk. And your guests are always so much fun because the not only do they enjoy being there, that like Spencer Wilding last year, I think, had a better time than anyone else did at the convention.
I think he did.
It's such a cool area, too. So when I've got to ask, when you're picking guests, because last year you had Spencer, who's also from Star Wars. This year you've got Emily, connection to the Star Wars universe there. Is it kind of one of those things where you're a huge Star Wars fan, you're just bringing the people in who you personally want to see? Is that what's going on here?
I am a Star Wars fan. We have a lot of Star Wars fans in the area, so I do try to stick with someone in the Star Wars universe. I do know going ahead, we are looking at possibly a Star Trek guest for 2025. I really like Star Wars, always have. We just kind of always stick to Star Wars.
And wrestling, too, because last year you had Sergeant Slaughter. This year you've got Jake the Snake, another classic wrestling person. So what is it, the key that goes into your decision-making? Because you've always got, you had Ming Chen there before. You've had the artist Salvador De La Roca from Spider-Man and Venom and all that kind of stuff. What is the kind of thought process that goes into your head when you're planning each year's event?
Yeah, so since we're not a big event yet, I listen to what our attendees, have to say. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will send me messages, be like, oh, it'd be great if you could get this person and this one. And so I do listen to our attendees, and I do try my best to get some of those people, but sometimes you can't always, get them. I do know wrestling is, it has a big following in my area. Yeah. So we have found with the wrestlers, the fans really turn out for them. So we kind of, you know, and next year we might have another comic book creator just because. But, you know, we are a smaller venue. We are growing. Hopefully one of these days we could have 4 guests, maybe 5. But, you know, we're getting there. It's our 5-year anniversary. So, we're looking forward to the next 5.
That's exciting. I mean, 5 years, that's, yeah. I mean, you know, some smaller cons, you see them come and go, but 5 years and you survived the pandemic too. So there's that.
Yeah. 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 That hurt a lot of promoters and stuff, but yeah. We were fortunate enough to go ahead and to continue to grow. And so we've just been very blessed. So.
And it's such a great area, too. I mean, you know, these historic places like our sponsor, St. Charles, and then you've got Hannibal, these great towns. And I'm always amazed, like we talked about with Spencer, but your guest, like Ming Chen, also was like, this is such a cool area. It's just a really unique place.
Yeah, it's very historic because, you know, of Mark Twain and things like that. And it's very cute little downtown area. And we've got several restaurants and shops, you know, and establishments, you know, that, you know, serve alcohol that stay open later in the evening for us during the weekend. So there'll be plenty of things to do after Comic-Con hours downtown.
So, and you mentioned the wrestling people who are down there. That's one of the things I noticed. Sergeant Slaughter, I don't think, had a break during the whole time he was there last week. Yeah. And his lines were just ridiculous. I love that there's that much overlap, like a Venn diagram of wrestling and geekdom. It kind of is very closely overlaps. It's such a cool thing to see.
Yeah. And it does seem to work very well here. So, you know, for now, we're going to continue to stick with that just because, like I said, that everyone in the area is just, I grew up watching wrestling too. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, we had wrestling at the Chase here in St. Louis. I mean, that's one of the things I remember on Sundays, watching that on Channel 11.
Yeah.
With what you're doing, we just had my executive producer, Joey V, just posed a question to those of you who are in the chats. What are some of the cool things you've enjoyed at a con besides the celebrities? And I know you've got a lot of other stuff going on. You've got your costume contest and things like that. Talk a little bit about some of the other things that the guests who are coming to this can enjoy.
So a Friday night, we have a comics theme. Steampunk is very big in Hannibal. We have the big Steampunk Fest on Labor Day weekend. And so we came up with comic theme, and it's where you steampunk a superhero or villain. So we have that on Friday evening. We also have the sketch battle, which this will be our 4th year, and it's really taken off. Attendees can get up on the stage. We pull something out of the hat, like draw Spider-Man eating an ice cream cone. And so you are actually going to be involved in that this year again. So the winner of the sketch battle actually walks away with a championship belt. Like, it looks like something Jake the Snake would wear. So that's on Friday. And then Saturday we have Cause Paws, which is a costume contest for your pet, you know, mm-hmm. superhero or villain. Scott Innes is going to actually help me judge that this year, and he'll be performing right before the event. He's going to do a live performance of some of his characters. And then we've got all the cosplay. The cosplay is huge in the area. Mm-hmm. And let's see what else we got. I think that's it. But for me, just seeing everyone and talking to everyone and seeing everyone so happy and, you know, being able to be around other people that are into all of this. For me, that's what's important. Just, you know, the new friendships I've made, the contest, you know, the kids that get so excited when they see some of our professional cosplayers, like that's what I love the most. So,
And the vendors too, because it's always fun when you go to these conventions, you get to see all the people who are bringing out stuff. They're bringing their things to sell, and you got some of the stores coming out and the sponsors too. I mean, it seems like this is something that the whole area has really gotten behind, and that's one of the aspects I really enjoy about Big River Comic Con.
Yes, yeah, and I do always spend a lot of money by the end of the weekend with the vendors. It's always like, did I really need that? Yes, I did need that. So, and then our sponsors, Pepsi Refreshment Services, Care and Munch Farmers Insurance, Best Western on the River, Cheriton Valley. Like, our sponsors have been with us since day one and just have believed in us. And so we're very grateful for the sponsors, the vendors, the volunteers, attendees. Like, without everyone, we couldn't do what we do. So.
And we've got some folks in the chat. And again, I apologize because I get distracted and I don't always pay attention to the chat. We've got Chance from Atlanta says he did karaoke. That was from our previous guest. Do you guys have karaoke anywhere in Hannibal?
We are actually Friday night downtown. One of the establishments will be having karaoke. Ooh. Friday night. So, yeah. And I'll have to get that up on our page. Everybody knows where to go. And then there's supposed to be a live band on Saturday evening. Hmm. I will get that up on the Facebook page this week. Some of the events that the downtown area is doing for us again this year. So, but yeah. And then the cool things I've enjoyed at a con besides the celebrity, it really is just the people. I mean, everyone is just so great. Everyone is. So,
yeah, people watching at the cons, big or small, is always kind of cool. And the cosplayers, the cosplayers you have there, you got some fantastic cosplayers that come out. And I took some pictures of some of them last year when I was in attendance because they just do such a great job.
Yeah. And it's been amazing to watch some of our local cosplayers grow because, in 2019 to now, like, their skills have just gotten incredible. It's just, I can't sew anything, so I appreciate the work that they put into their cosplay.
Right. Yeah, and we've got our friend Cameron is listening from Central Missouri. He says, let's go. So I think Cameron might be attending Big River Comic Con. He's another.
That would be amazing. You need to come on Friday night for sure to cheer for James during the sketch battle.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to have some liquid courage before I get up there. I'm not sure if it's going to. It probably won't help my drawings one way or the other. Because I look like I've drawn everything with my feet, but that's okay. I'm excited to try. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
So in the back of your mind, are you already kind of planting seeds for next year? Or are you one of those people who likes to wait, see how this year goes, take a couple weeks to decompress and let your brain rest, and then start planning?
Well, I always try to do that, but it never works out that way for me. So, yeah, we've kind of got a couple of things already in the works for next year.
Okay.
So I always say I'm going to take a break and I never do.
it's a full-time job. I mean, when you're setting all this up and wrangling all the stuff you do, you wear a lot of hats for this. And it's always, you do such an impressive job, Deb. That's why I tell people,
Thank you.
Say, man, if you're in the area, you got to check out Big River.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I do. So it is a lot of work, but if I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. So
yeah.
You got to love it. I mean, you just have to.
And the attendees love it too. Cause like I said, all the kids who I see who come there dressed up for the kids costume contest and the people who are just hanging out in the back eating from some of the food trucks you have there with the big smiles on their faces. And it's such a good time. So once again, it's Big River Comic Con. And if people want to find out, give out the websites and the Facebook page and everything else where they can find you.
So, yeah, our website is www.BigRiverComicCon, and then our Facebook page is just, Big River Comic Convention, Friday, April 19th, Saturday the 20th. Weekend passes are the only thing on sale right now, but they do go off sale tomorrow. Everything else you can buy at the door.
Okay, so if people want to come just for Friday or just Saturday, they can get those tickets for the day by day at the door.
Yes. So Friday's $15 and Saturday is $20. So, yep.
There you go. And if you're in the greater St. Louis area and you're hearing the signal here from the Big 550 KTRS, this is definitely one you're going to want to check out. It's a lot of fun. Again, Scott Innes, the voice of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy and Scrappy, among others. We've got Emily Swallow from Supernatural, from The Mandalorian. She played the armorer in The Mandalorian. And then we've got also Jake the Snake. If you're a wrestling fan, bring your Jake the Snake Funko Pops or your WWE figures and get them signed. I'm sure that they've usually got their own things. If you don't have something that you can bring, they've always got their own stuff that you can sign there at the table.
Yes, yeah. And plus, the vendors are always good about making sure to bring items related to the celebrities. So our vendors are great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got some new ones this year, too. It's always exciting to see some new people there, more people hearing about the convention and wanting to set up. I believe our friend Chris McQuillan from Toyman, I believe he is usually there as well.
Yes, he's usually here. And then we do try to rotate in new vendors just to keep it, you know, new.
Yeah.
You know, for the attendees that come every year, that way there's always something new for them as well.
Exactly. Big River Comic Con in Hannibal, Missouri, this coming Friday and Saturday, the 19th and the 20th. I always love talking to Deb. I feel like we could talk hours and hours about all the geek stuff that we both love, but I appreciate very much you having the time to come on the show, and thank you for having me back. If you're listening, I will be at the con. Don't let that deter you, though. Come out and see Hannibal Comic Con, Big River Comic Con in Hannibal anyway.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for having me on the air tonight.
Thank you. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. There she goes. Such a great event. So if you're listening, you get a chance, go check it out. Cameron came back on, said last con he went to was MegaCon in Florida in 2022. So yeah, it's getting to see these people like Jake the Snake and Scott Innes and everything like that. It's a really cool event. Like I said, I've gone the past, I think, 3 out of 5 years that Deb's been doing it, and it's always a good time. Everyone's having a lot of fun. Wear a costume, bring your cosplay, and even if you don't want to enter the contest, it's a great place to show off your skills, and you can learn something from the professional cosplayers that she'll have there. So be sure to check that out. May 18th is another event I want to make sure we tell you about. May 18th at the London Tea Room, I'll be joining forces with our friends in the St. Louis Celestial Intervention Agency, the St. Louis CIA, our Doctor Who chapter here. We're going to be doing a Doctor Who night, or afternoon, I guess I should say, at the London Tea Room down on Locust and 19th Street in St. Louis. We'll be doing Doctor Who trivia. There'll be special teas that they'll have. So if you're a Doctor Who fan and you like tea, who doesn't? Come on out and check out that event May 18th. The tickets are on sale. I just put a link up on my Facebook page where you can go and check out more of the information from that event. I shared that from Rob Levy in the St. Louis Celestial Intervention Agency's page. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, check that event out. You can win some cool stuff, have some tea, and talk Doctor Who with your fellow Whovians. Other than that, I think that's going to wrap it up. Next week on the show, we have David Pepos, the writer on the current Punisher series. He's got Space Ghost out from Dynamite Comics. We're going to be talking about that new series. My comic book sponsor, Larry, will be in studio with us to help us talk talk Space Ghost and talk Punisher and whatever else that David might be working on. He's going to be finishing up C2E2. He's going to be joining us right off of that. The next weekend, we will have my friends Mark and Carol Ann on talking about their brand new podcast, The House of Branching Paths. That's why I can't even read my own writing. Then we'll have Rob and someone from the London Tea Room on to talk about that event I just mentioned on May 18th. Getting into May, Phil Morris, come on. We're going to have Phil Morris on the show from Seinfeld, from Smallville. He's going to be talking about his career. We just had him on our Justice League podcast, and I had to get him for this show because we didn't get to talk all the things I wanted to talk about. Jackie Chiles on Seinfeld is an iconic character. So we'll talk all about his incredible career. He's come from a lineage of actors that'll be really great to talk to him. And then on May 12th, Mother's Day, we're going to be talking with Eric and Julia Leewald, the original showrunners and the current consulting producers on the brand new X-Men 97. So we'll be talking with them about that series as well. A lot to get into with them. We'll get into all of it. So make sure you stick it around here on Geek to Me Radio. Give the Facebook page a like, facebook.com/geektomeradio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at geektomeradio. And of course, hopefully you subscribe by now to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/geektomeradio. Thank you to all of you who joined into the chat today. Thank you all who watched. Thank you to my guests, Rust Russo. Make sure you check out Chaser on Prime. Thank you to Leia President and Alec Murray. Check out the Anime Effect from Crunchyroll. Thank you to Deb Hayes. Make sure you are there next weekend, Big River Comic Con in Hannibal, Missouri. Until next week, my friends. It's not in the way you look when you make Game of Thrones references. That's a show. This is Geek to Me Radio. That's a show.